Otherwise, you can read till after the talk, then you collect a copy. Yeah? These are notes that were printed, I think, earlier on. Yeah? But not too long also, because it was based on a talk that I gave in Wu Ping Jing Se, the Mahayana Vihara there. So that 3-hour talk and meditation, somebody took short notes and finally decide to do the transcript because too many things. They cannot summarize it. So that's how it come about. Then when it was sent to me for editing, it turned out to be so beautiful. I said, good. Maybe it's meant to be. Nature's condition. This Dhamma wants to arise. So these notes, if you have a copy, you better make full use of it. It's going to help you a lot. Until long, long time later. The more you cultivate, the more you understand. Because these are very, very profound and very important understanding. Unless you cultivate, it's very difficult for you to understand. Okay?
Good evening, brothers and sisters in the Dharma. Good evening, Brother Theo and his group of friends, Kalyana Mitas. Thank you for coming here to share your Dharma knowledge with us. And tonight's topic is that the Pure Land Chanting, is it meditation? And the other one is pitfalls, pitfalls of thought-based meditation. Now, especially we all English educated, where exposure is mostly to Theravadin, because that is the source of information mainly in the English language. Whereas the Chinese educated, the source of information mostly in the Mahayana approach. But the what we should do is that sometimes we, if we are not open in our mind, we tend to be restricted in our views. And therefore, Dharma, to learn Dharma, it's not, what you call it, found in any particular tradition. Traditions are merely ways of behavior, orderly behavior, so that there is harmony among those groups of people. All right? So tonight's topic, as I have just mentioned here, is this pure land chanting. This, you can say that it's from the Mahayana traditions of practice, right? But it is at the surface, we think that, oh, this is a Mahayana practice. Therefore, we Theravadin, where we used to practice Vipassana insight meditation or Anapanasati, and that does not appear to be suitable for the Theravadin. But I think that this is not so. Because what we look at it, what we come to know is only on the surface side of what you call it, this Pure Land Chanting. It's only on the surface. We have not gone deeper into it. And therefore, Brother Theo has kindly come today to share with us and giving more detailed explanation. And also the other thing is that the pitfalls of thought-based meditation, I think quite a number of us have not come across this title as thought-based. Most of us, where we practice in the past, the word thought-based did not arise. We just practice meditation either according to the Mahasi approach or to the Anapanasati approach. But we were not aware of what actually is thought-based meditation. Right. Some may be aware of what it is, as they are seasoned practitioner. So anyway, I believe that Brother Theo will share with us what he knows, and after that, I think we'll likely to have a better understanding between the different methods, approaches of meditation practice. They are merely techniques or methods. Techniques or methods should lead us to our final objective of understanding Dharma as it is. That means seeing the Dharma within our body and mind. Alright? So I do not wish to take more time, and we shall now, as usual, take refuge and observe the precepts. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo
tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa.
Okay, very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma again. So, already about a month ago, since we last had our sharing. So, tonight, the topic is different. Maybe like Brother Tee say, it's very different from your usual traditional Theravada type or so-called teaching. So as you can see from the title on the whiteboard, Pure Land Mahayana chanting, is it meditation? That is the question we want to ask. The main intention and purpose is because I see a lot of misconception going on during the early years when I went to Redfield Temple and when I went to listen to talk and mingle around with people who are in the mainly Theravada tradition. You know, one of the feedback I get on her, sometimes it's shocking. They said, chan, 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 also can become enlightened like that. No need to cultivate really. No noble eightfold path. No four foundation of mindfulness. No anapanasati. No method, no technique. Chan only. So what is your understanding? What is your answer? Is it meditation? You shake your head means what? Means you agree or you don't agree. You don't agree, yeah? I rejoice. It's not about right and wrong. It's about understanding. If you don't understanding, then what is being commented like very logical, isn't it? Correct not? The word is logical. No? But logical, I can tell you, most of the time is never the truth. Whatever that is logical may not be the truth. And most of the time, it's never the truth. So if you are gullible, you say, yeah, no method, no technique one, no vipassana, like Brahati say, anapanasati also not there, chan, 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 like that also can become enlightened. Then they don't believe in Mahayana teaching. So Buddha also never teach like that, is it? But then you can recall under the teaching, huh? Buddha no sati. What is Buddha no sati? What is Buddha no sati? Contemplate on the nine great virtues of the Buddha. Recall to mind who the Sama Sambuddha is. Understand? So all these are actually in the Theravada teaching, but people don't understand. But you fail to understand what is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, and what did the Buddha emphasize on to develop the meditation. If you understand all these essential Dhamma clearly, then you will know why all of the so-called method and technique you use, they are not the meditation. Understand? Not even anapanasati or rising falling. They are only methods and technique to train your mind to develop sati. Understand? So that you anchor your mind there. Can follow not? So that it will not wander off heedlessly. Anapana sati means what? Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So when you train your mind in anapana sati, you develop mindfulness of the in and out breath without thought. Means the moment you detect your breath with your mind, the awareness follows. Breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. What are you doing when you develop this anapana sati training? You are training the mind to be mindful of this object of meditation, which is the breath. Can follow that? The breath is always in the moment. Understand that? And because it's always in the moment, it is the here and the now. There is no thought. That's why the breath and the mind, the awareness, move as one without thought. When you pay respect, same. Body and mind move as one without thought. That is sati. Because we already defined sati for you in the previous talk. Remember I gave a talk on importance of sati to walk the path of Dhamma. Remember? And what is sati? Sati is awareness before the knowing. Understand not? The moment you arise the perception or the knowing or the thought or the aggregate of mind, you are no longer in sati. You are lost in thought. Understand not? So anapanasati or any of your object of meditation that you use or skillful mean, it's just one of the techniques that will allow you to train your mind. And what did the Buddha say before he passed away? The famous saying, Apamadena Sampadeta. What does it mean? Strive on with heedfulness. You see, if you have that, you are destined for enlightenment. Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23. Because the Buddha said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So without heedfulness, you are as if dead. So what must you do? You must strive on with heedfulness. Then you must understand what is heedfulness. What is heedfulness? I explained before that. Inside the note of Soga. Afterwards, you will see them. It has two parts. The Buddha said, you train your spiritual faculty. Sada, virya, sati, samadhi, panya. That's sati. After you develop your faith, sada, then the virya come. Then you will determine to train yourself and you train your mind to have sati. Stabilize it, become samadhi, unwavering, collected, unified. Then after that, you will see things as they are. Your sati and samadhi will allow you to see things as they are without your mind stirring or wavering. Because it's the unwavering mind. And when you can see things as they are, you insight into phenomena. You awaken to the characteristics of nature. You penetrate. You develop vipassana. Understand? Vipassana is to insight into the characteristics of nature. Anicchang dukkang anatta. So basically, meditation is to train your mind to have sati, awareness. Stabilize it until it becomes samadhi. And then from there, wisdom can arise. Then you use it to meditate. So heedfulness is a combination of continuous mindfulness. That's why the Buddha under Dhammapada verse 23 said, the constantly meditative and ever mindful and steadfast one, if you hold on to these two training steadfastly, you will realize the supreme bond-free enlightenment, Nibbana. Understand? So, ever mindful is continuous mindfulness. That's like upacara samadhi. Then the other one is constantly meditative. Means with this continuous mindfulness in daily life and in formal meditation, you use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. And within the Noble Eightfold Path, you have the four foundations of mindfulness. You have all the Noble Eightfold Path factor that you need to cultivate, the four right effort, the right view, the right thought, right speech, right action, yeah? Right livelihood, and right effort, the four right effort, accumulating into right mindfulness to do the four foundations, then the right samadhi. So if you can do this, you are destined for enlightenment. So meditation is to develop the sati, to become heedful. Understand? So any method and technique is a skillful means to train the mind to have sati until it's very stable, then samadhi arises, then use it to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is the Noble Eightfold Path that I had already explained. If you do that, you develop meditation. So when you look at manaya chanting, does it allow you to train your mind? It's no different from any of your method or technique or skillful means, is it? It's one of the Mahayana way, but their way is very special, very powerful. That's why I will explain it. Yeah. Because in the transcript note that they give to you, yeah, because I have been explaining this to my all this Kayanamita over a few years already. So I don't have to explain the introduction that I gave to you. I straight away go into the essential teaching. So that's why now we move into it, then you will understand. But before I move into it, I want you to understand one more thing that the Buddha always teach. The two types of essential Dhamma that you have to understand. First is the five mental hindrance, the Buddha said. Why are you not peaceful? Why is your mind heedless? It's because the hindrance are there. Understand? You know the five mental hindrance there. What are they? Sensual desire, ill will. Some more? Sloth and torpor. Last one? Doubt. You check your mind. How often you arise them? I can tell you, most of you, unless you're a real, serious cultivator who has developed sati, very stable, throughout the day, non-stop, the hindrance are there. That is as serious as it can be, you know. So what are you going to do? Because they are mental hindrance. Means what? It hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of peace, calm, and inner awareness. That's what you call a hindrance, understand? Then you have to investigate, why did the Buddha say that? When I have sensual desire and ill will, does it make me heedless? Does it prevent me from becoming peaceful? Or having the awareness to meditate? If I'm sleepy, of course you understand. When you're sleepy, you don't have virya. That's why you cannot meditate. Then when you have a lot of problem, worry, anxiety, fear, you become restless, your mind, understand? Lack of peace, when you have problem, unresolved problem, especially the First Noble Truth Reality, when you have health problem, relationship problem, career problem, business problem, then also financial problem, and all those problems related to your daily life, in-law problem, children problem, neighbors problem, all sorts of problems. So it keeps you having this fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity, like nowadays a lot of snatch thief and all those things. You felt so insecure, so life become like very difficult. So when your mind is so restless, how can you meditate? That's why it's a hindrance as well. That's why you must keep your precepts so that you got no problem. You must have right view so that you don't go and deludedly hold on to all this wrong thought that condition your negativity and suffering. This is how hindrance arise, born of the three evil roots. And the three evil roots are the result of delusion or ignorance. So when you understand all this, you have to look into the teaching. What must I do? What did the Buddha prescribe? What must you do when you know that this hindrance are the one that is giving you problem? What must you do? Huh? Can I have some response? Huh? Ah, very good. Sato. Huh? Is it because you understand or you heard me say it so many times? The Buddha actually told the monk, is it? You don't have to fight the hindrance. You don't have to suppress it and control it. Understand not? Like where there is sensual desire or anger, anasana, craving. You don't have to suppress it, fight it, control it. No. The Buddha said, you just develop the five opposite spiritual faculty. With that, the hindrance ceases by itself. Then you realize a lot of people do the wrong meditation. Where they suppress their anger. They try to control their anger. They try not to be angry, anasana, not to be emotional. Because they say, these are evil roots. I'm a cultivator. I cannot have anger. I cannot have selfishness. So what you do? You don't want to be angry. You don't want to be selfish. So next time you encounter people who are very unfriendly, when they abuse you, scold you and say all those things, you yawn. Then what you do? You suppress your anger, actually bottle up. Then next time when they step on your tail, you cannot tahan already. What happened? That thing just erupts. That's why your anger become like volcano, and there's a pop, it just come out. Then you just do the unimaginable thing. They say you lost your temple. In Australia, they say fly off the handle, huh? The driving handle. Huh? So all these are defilement. So the Buddha said you only need to cultivate the five spiritual faculty and you will overcome them. Yeah. So now I will do a review of what I spoke at Wu Ping Ching Sir. It was this Satipatthana Sutta class cum meditation that I held every Sunday there. It's a Mahayana temple, Vihara. Poyen Sang Lao, you all heard of him before? Huh? Master Poyen. He is the disciple of Xu Yun, who is also the 120 years old famous Zen master. Also the teacher of Master Xuan Hua. And Yin Sun. Yin Sun is the teacher of Ci Ji Yuan, the Zhen Yan Pastor. So, Xu Yun is a very famous monk, lived until 120 years old. So, there is a bit of a history behind. So, now we go into this note. You turn to the first page. These notes were taken to assist in the understanding, but actually, finally, it became a transcript. Because they find it so difficult to summarize. So they say, might as well do a transcript. Then I read through and edited it. That is what you have here. And these are very important notes. Don't ever, ever throw it away. It is like the precious Dhamma you cannot understand. You just say, what I want is money and food. You give me this triple gem for what? The beggar don't understand, they just throw it away. Well, what they want is food and money. And you give them one of the triple gem, which is either the Buddha Dhamma or the Sangha. And in this case, the Dhamma. He said, what for? Dhamma cannot eat. No monetary value. You give me for what? So they throw. But if they are real cultivator, they realize that this is priceless. Money cannot buy. And it takes you aeons and aeons to find this truth. Not easy to come by. Okay. Pure Land chanting, is it meditation? So there was a sister who answered where I asked that question. So I quote her, say, just like what Sister Monica say, chanting is only one of the methods or technique or skillful means used to anchor your mind. But the Pure Land chanting is more than that. That's why I have to explain. And this is very important. Most people don't understand. Because in the Pure Land tradition, they have their great faith. In the Buddha and the Bodhisattva that they chant. And due to their great vows. Their vows are not aspiration. No. Vows are very heavy commitment. Understand? We all only aspire. Understand? We make aspiration. Every new year you have a resolution, you aspire to do something, but you seldom keep, understand? You break them almost all. But if it's a vow, means what? Teng lang, Hokkien lang, gong jiu jua, understand? You vow, no? And that is as serious, you put your life at stake, no? That this is what you will cultivate and develop, no? That's why vow is very heavy. That's why Mahayana is very heavy and serious business. Not like normal, so-called, the aspiration type of tradition. They go very serious. That's why they have this great vow. And it can arise the causes and conditions for those who have faith in them to develop very strong sadha. Understand? Sadha means what? Faith, confident in the Buddha and the great Bodhisattva that they have affinity with. So this faith is your first of the five spiritual faculty. Understand? Understand? And with the faith come what? Huh? So your faith will connect you to the vow. Understand? So that's why if you are sincere and you have great faith in the Buddha and the Bodhisattva that you chant, could be Kuan Yin Bodhisattva or Amitabha Buddha or any of the Buddha, Medicine Buddha, Yao Shi Fo, or Sakyamuni Fo, Sakyamuni Buddha, any of these Buddha, means the great beings, Buddhas and Bodhisattva. Their vow are very heavy and powerful because of their great virtue, wisdom and perfection. They have taken 12 Asaṅkhaya Kappas, 12 world cycles to cultivate the perfection, Amitabha Buddha. Sakyamuni wisdom way take 3 3/4 world cycle, about 1/3 the time. Can follow? Amitabha because through faith, that's why he need 12 world cycle. That's why he is able to perfect them until he can create pure land out of it. Understand? Jingtu. Yeah. So these are serious cultivators. These are great beings. So because of that, their vows are very heavy and powerful because of their great virtue, wisdom and perfection. Hence, all these vows can become part of nature's law and they will manifest and respond on their own. So Kuan Yin need not be there, understand? The moment you have faith and affinity, when you really chant the four hao or whatever, what they call the chanting that is linked to Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, it will have its response because there is a great vow that Kuan Yin make. If you are sincere and you determine to really walk this way, there will be a response. Yeah. So for those who have affinity and they have great faith, you will be able to benefit through this affinity with them by chanting their four hao, understand? Sincerely, with clarity. That is, you don't need to have the Buddha or Kuan Yin Bodhisattva to be all over the place to listen to you and respond. Because of the Buddha and the Bodhisattva's great vow, if you chant with understanding and you do it sincerely with very strong faith, it can help you develop a very strong affinity with them. And that faith and affinity will connect you to their vow. And their vow will bring forth the causes and conditions. You don't have to do anything to assist you to progress along the path of Dhamma and help you develop the five spiritual faculty needed for you to develop the meditation. So once the spiritual faculty is cultivated, immediately the hindrance no more. That's why they are ever mindful, heedful. That's why they can, with every moment of their life, they cultivate wisdom. Understand? You can see them like whole day holding on to the mantra. Actually, it's to develop the clarity of mind, the spiritual faculty, especially sati. When they chant until their mind and the vibration as one, no one to chant. That is the true sati. And when there is so much clarity, throughout the day they are very heedful, they are very mindful. Everything they do, they are aware. They understand very clearly and how their mind stir and how it reacts, how the dependent, everything. All of your Theravada so-called teaching, they all develop through that real sati and spiritual faculty. that he developed. The Buddha said the moment you have the spiritual faculties cultivated, you can stabilize it until it becomes power, balance. You will understand his teaching very, very fast, very easily. Meditation becomes very simple. Because when the hindrance of mind no more, you don't have to be at a conducive place to be peaceful. You immediately can be peaceful anywhere, anytime, any place. Asana. That is the real meditation. Initially, when you have problem, maybe you need a proper peaceful place to help you to develop the faith, to develop the what they call calm and peaceful mind, so that you know that this mind can be trained. It gives you more confidence and faith. And then, of course, just like you want to build up your body, you cannot be going to other places except the gym. The gym got everything there. Very conducive for training. So you go to a quiet place to train. But then after you train, you have to come out and live life, understand? To put your whatever training to test. So that it can help you or benefits to you. Otherwise, it defeats its purpose. So now we go on to five spiritual faculties. After you have developed, it leads to the heedful living. The heedful never die. Remember? The Buddha said, apamada, heedfulness. That's why even though you see them like only chanting, chanting, and chanting, but in fact they are training their mind to be heedful. We are mindfulness of the Buddha's name. Their faith in the Buddha's name will arise, the strong saddha, due to the repeated chanting with understanding, leading to the virya, spiritual zeal. Then together with the sati developed via chanting, walking, bowing, reverential salutation, it will bring forth the sati and samadhi needed to develop the clear mind. That's like the clarity of mind, which is the meditative or silent mind without thought. To see things as they are, to arise the wisdom, which is the last of the five spiritual faculties. So when sati and samadhi are established, then every moment, during every moment of their daily living, when they see things, hear, smell, taste, and feel something, they will be very different because they will no longer be heedless like before. Instead, they will be heedful most of the time, and the mind are very peaceful, calm, and just aware without thought. Hence, there is clarity most of the time. And this is possible because they hold on to their mantra with faith, and they do it very sincerely and diligently. So now you understand. Once the spiritual faculty is developed, you got no more hindrance, meditation becomes easy. When your saddha virya is very stable and you are constantly mindful or ever mindful, means throughout the day you are just aware, silent, without thought, most of the time. That is what heedfulness is. Heedfulness is when you have trained your mind in such a manner. Then you use it to cultivate noble evil power. It becomes apamada, heedfulness. Okay, then we move on. Overcoming the five mental hindrances leading to direct seeing. Jnana dasana, direct knowledge and vision of the reality. Okay? To develop the meditation, we only need to develop the five spiritual faculty, which will help us overcome the five mental hindrances that hinders one from becoming peaceful and mindful. The five mental hindrance, you don't have to fight them or worry about them. Remember what I shared with you just now? Once the five spiritual faculty of saddha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya are there, the hindrance will cease to be. And then the mind with sati and samadhi will have the clarity to see things as they are, to arise the wisdom or panya. Then their mind is no longer heedless, and they will no longer see things with the conditioned mind. That is, no more seeing with their views and opinion, and the egoic mind and their thought will no longer interfere with the direct seeing, which will lead to awakening, understanding, and enlightenment. This is a very, very precise summary. You have to go back and reflect on them. Unless you cultivate before, you will rejoice like anything. Understand? Because this statement is very profound, very precise. They were, turn to next page, They will see the dependent origination or dwelling within their own form and mind. They will start to understand the Four Noble Truths on their own. they will start to see clearly what the Buddha meant by the five mental hindrances and the five spiritual faculties. They will also see clearly the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion within their own mundane mind, and why the Buddha called them evil roots. They will also come to understand how the seven factors of enlightenment come to be, and how their sense bases actually function. That is how, upon contact, consciousness and feeling comes to be. And because they have sati and samadhi, they will also have the ability to see clearly how through delusion one is conditioned into negativity, grasping, clinging, and attachment. Then how suffering comes to be. Then when they are just silent and aware, they will come to understand how the arising of the non-arisen hindrance come to be. Now, this is your satipatthana. Then later on, when they continue to be just silent and aware, they will come to understand how the disappearance or abandoning of the hindrance, the arisen hindrance, come to be. Then how through non-delusion, they will know how the non-arising in the future of the abandoned hindrance come to be, and how all these are possible. This is how they will cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness. This one is from the six internal sense bases and six external sense bases under Dhammanupassana. Okay? The first category of cultivation under Dhammanupassana is mindfulness of what? The five mental hindrances. That's why they will get it right. Then they go to the mindfulness of the five aggregate of form and mind. They will see very clearly this aggregate. Then the six internal sense bases and six external sense bases to trace the origination factor, to realize the wisdom, how the non-arisen hindrance come to be, and how the arisen hindrance cease to be, and how through wisdom it cannot arise anymore in the future. So the 1.4 is leading to enlightenment. So you have the spiritual faculty cultivated, then it leads to heedfulness. Then it overcome the five mental hindrances, leading to direct seeing. Direct seeing will lead to enlightenment. Okay? So this is the next subheading, leading to enlightenment. Via sati, or mindfulness, they will also understand how their mind stir via delusion to react to sense experience, to arise the craving or their evil roots to condition their own suffering. This is how Pure Land chanting can also lead to enlightenment in the here and the now. Note, sati is awareness or mindfulness before the knowing. And samadhi is the collected and unwavering silent mind. So this is to help you, okay, to have a clear understanding of what sati and samadhi is as a definition. Then we go on to how to cultivate the five spiritual faculty. What does the Buddha say? And how he teach the monks to do. That's why you have to develop this understanding so that you know what you are doing in the name of meditation or cultivating the Dhamma. Every day you come, what you do? Yeah? You start with puja. And you know why you do puja or not? To develop the spiritual faculty, understand or not? Understand or not? You start by paying homage, respect, gratitude. Then what you do? You chant the salutation. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasa. And when you do that, what happened? You renew your faith in the Buddha. You recall to mind. Yeah? Homage to thee, the blessed one, the worthy one, and the fully enlightened one. Because the samma sambuddha has these three great virtues within the nine. He is the homage to thee, the worthy one. The worthy one means what? He is worthy of respect, offering, yeah, give and whatever. Okay? Then he is the blessed one. Blessed with what? Virtue and wisdom. Understand? Then he is the fully enlightened one. He is not only enlightened, he has completed the full understanding of all the practices and cultivation leading to enlightenment. No? That's why he is foremost in wisdom, the wisest and the most virtuous being ever to be born. So when you recall to mind and you chant your salutation, you not only receive the merits and wholesomeness, you develop the strong sadhana, the spiritual faculty. Understand or not? Then you pay respect, develop sati. Understand or not? Then sada will drive you to actually determine to cultivate. That's why virya come to be spiritual zeal, tenacity. You want to go this way because the Buddha is so different, so unique. He not only is fully enlightened, he is complete in enlightenment and the most virtuous living being ever to be born. To have such a great teacher is your great blessing. So you will have a lot of respect and gratitude towards him. Then you come to understand that his teaching is so wonderful. It can bring about enlightenment in the here and now. It can liberate living being from all suffering. If that is not what you want, then too bad. Then you don't have to develop faith in him. But if you really see the beauty of the Dhamma and this is what you really, really strive for, that's why strive on your heedfulness to become what? Enlightened, awakened, so that you need not suffer anymore. So that spiritual zeal will arise because this is so important to you, not only this life, life after life. You can cultivate this. It is going to serve you well for eternity. That's why Saddha Virya once developed, you will move on with the cultivation. You will cultivate sati. Understand? That is how the spiritual faculty fall into place. Then you are home. Understand? And meditation is so simple. The moment you have spiritual faculty, you become heedful. You are destined for enlightenment. Dhammapada verse 21 clearly states that heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Means you go beyond birth and death. Understand? So now we read on how to cultivate the spiritual faculty. Saddha or faith or confidence in the Buddha and his teaching will make your mind confident, composed and very calm. Hence, no more restlessness and doubt. And when there is virya, you will not be sleepy anymore. So the second hindrance is gone. Because this virya or spiritual zeal will drive you to diligently cultivate. Then when you have sati, you are not heedless anymore. You are mindful and always aware, and your mind is always with the moment in sati. And when you stabilize it, samadhi will arise. With samadhi established, the mind will be collected and unwavering. Hence, it can see things as they are, to understand the truth and the reality leading to the wisdom. Once these five spiritual faculties are cultivated, you will automatically know how to meditate. Because the hindrance no more, understand not? The other thing about sati is the moment you are aware without thought, there is no more sensual desire and ill will, correct not? Because you didn't arise any thought. There is no craving. There is nothing because it's silent. So the five hindrances, they are all rooted out. Once the spiritual faculty are there, you don't have to fight them, suppress them, or control them, or do anything to them. Okay? Then we move on. Mind and chanting as one. This is how sati develop. That's why when they chant and chant until the four how or the Buddha's name and the awareness become one. That is mind and chanting as one. Like there is no one to chant. Just an awareness of the chanting, of the vibration. Then their sati will stabilize. At that time, they will become very different. Because the five spiritual faculty that are so stable will transform them. Then throughout the day, even when they are not chanting the Buddha's name, they will also have that type of mind with the spiritual faculty developed. It will like chant by itself. You don't chant also, it will be there. That clarity. Yeah. Awareness of the chanting. There was this very soothing and continuous chanting of Amitofo, 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 Amitofo. In its background, Guang Qing Lao Ho Sang, the tape. So it was very soothing. So as I listened to that chanting, that was 20 over years ago, which was repeated many times on the background, I was also able to follow and chant it so naturally and so mindfully. You ask me how? I don't know, because I'm English educated. But the moment I heard the chanting, my nature arise, and you know how to chant. Who teach me? Not this life. It's from my past, nature. Yeah. So All this will arise. Then what happened was, I was also able to follow and chant it so naturally and so mindfully. I can chant it until it become like very clear to me. Then one day while I was driving, all of a sudden this chanting just arise from inside my brain. And there was such clarity that I stopped my car somewhere and silenced my mind. That's why the key to meditation is silent. Don't try to know anything. To listen. Listen means not a person listening. Listen through awareness to it. It was like the mind and the chanting was in complete harmony and synchrony as one. I remember initially chanting. I remember initially I was chanting. Then all of a sudden it was like no one is chanting. Then everything stopped. Very strange. Then somewhere underneath my brain at the back here, the chanting automatically come out. And the mindfulness on it was so stable and so clear, and it just stayed there, fully aware of everything. That's how I came to know this type of Pure Land chanting can also develop the five spiritual faculty of Sadha, Virya, Sati, and Samadhi leading to Panya. And how the mind can become one with it. And there was a realization that there was no one to chant. And the nature within is just aware, fully aware. The chanting just repeat itself, and there was just an awareness of it. So the real chanting is very different, because there is no one to chant. It is just the mind that is aware of phenomena, whether it is physical, mental, or nature's phenomena. In this case, it is a mental phenomena. Don't try to note, don't try to watch. The watcher and the noter is the thought. You just silent. The awareness will be aware by itself through the silent mind. Just an awareness, clarity, in perfect harmony. Vibration and awareness as one, like your breathing and the sati as one. That's how they cultivate. Then, after that, you use it to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness. All these are possible when you have properly developed all the spiritual faculty until when they are very stable. Then even in the midst of your daily life, your mind will be very different because of the stability of your sati and samadhi. These are the spiritual faculties that you have stabilized. You will be able to see your mental intention, your aggregate of mind, like your feeling, perception, activity of mind, emotion, mind states, etc., including the consciousness. Then you will also see your mental and physical flow. And after that, you will be able to use it to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness. Your wisdom will keep on arising. The four foundations of mindfulness cultivation will bring forth the enlightenment. Because of the cultivation of the four foundations of mindfulness, the four foundations of mindfulness cultivation will bring forth the enlightenment because the cultivation of the four foundations of mindfulness will accumulate into the cultivation of the Four Noble Truths. That is the last cultivation, mindfulness of the Four Noble Truths. Then the Fourth Noble Truth, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, is the Noble Eightfold Path, because it leads to the end of all suffering, which is the enlightenment in the here and the now. So finally, summary. Whatever meditation you do, if it does not lead you back to the Four Foundations of Mindfulness, the Four Noble Truths, and the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation, then it is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Always be very clear and very focused. You can have fantastic meditation experience, special meditation, like very calm, very peaceful. You see light, you have a lot of energy, then you become very excited over this great meditation. But does it connect you back to the Four Noble Truths? Does it lead you to the Four Foundations of Mindfulness cultivation? Does it bring forth the transformation until you have the Noble Eightfold Path as a part of you? Understand? If you have the Noble Eightfold Path cultivated, the Noble Eightfold Path will be a part of your nature. You live it, understand? But all those fantastic meditation doesn't bring about any of this. So what are you doing? You think that is meditation? You think that is equal to progress? Special, significant, and then you become too gullible, you think you already awakened, because you can do magic. You can do a lot of psychic and the whole thing. You say other people cannot do, no? That's why my meditation is different, special. Oh, and the I, the mind, the egoic mind becomes stronger and stronger. And that's where you debate without realizing what you do. Then we move on. Understanding the essential teaching of the Buddha. Oh, sorry, 1.9. Cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path. That's why I also have to caution the Mahayana. Huh? If you think chanting alone is the meditation, then you are deceived. Understand not? It's just like you think every time you note your object of meditation, you are doing vipassana. You better go and find out yourself. Understand not? If you chant and chant and chant without knowing and understanding why you chant, you are same as the guy who do anapanasati and vipassana without knowing. Every time they don't note anapanasati, they say they are not meditating. Every time they don't note their object of meditation, rising, falling, they don't do vipassana. You will end up like that. If you only think that every time you have a duty to chant, you don't understand the purpose and intent of that chanting. It's just a skillful means to train your mind, to develop sati and the spiritual faculty. So that focus, if you don't understand, then chanting is no different from any technique and method. You can get stuck there. You become gullible. Understand that clearly, okay? Then you will know how to meditate. If you think chanting alone is the meditation, then you are deceived. Chanting is just a technique or a skillful means to initially train your mind to develop the spiritual faculty of sada, virya, sati, and samadhi, leading to the wisdom, panya, needed to overcome the five mental hindrances. After that, only the real meditation begins. That is, after the five spiritual faculty has been cultivated, and your daily mindfulness stabilized, then only the real meditation, which is the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, via daily mindfulness can begin. And this is what Sati Sampajana is all about, as described by the Buddha in the Kayanupassana, four foundation of mindfulness. Okay? And within the Noble Eightfold Path, we have Samasati, perfecta, which is the cultivation of the four foundation of mindfulness, which is also the focus of our Dhamma discussion, where I was teaching the four foundation of mindfulness there, Satipatthana. Yeah. Then heedfulness. This one I define already. Heedfulness is sati plus cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path. So ever mindful, constantly meditative, according to Dhammapada verse 23. One must understand that the essence of the Buddha's teaching is the Four Noble Truths, and how from there all other teaching comes to be. How and why the Buddha highlighted the importance of heedfulness. We are Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23. You refer to them. And why one must understand what heedfulness is. Heedfulness is sati plus meditation, means ever mindful to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, or meditation as taught by the Buddha. Sati is the first factor of enlightenment. That's the reason why. The first factor of enlightenment is sati, because without sati, there is no meditation. And without sati, there is no heedfulness. And according to Dhammapada verse 21, without heedfulness, you are heedless. And the heedless are as if dead, spiritually dead, no chance for enlightenment. All these are very clear. So to connect and develop the meditation, one must train one's mind to be heedful. And the purpose of all the method and technique are only skillful means to train the mind. Understand not? You ask yourself one very easy and sincere question. What are all those methods and techniques? They are just a series of instructions to do things. Correct not? It's nothing to do with Noble Eightfold Path. No? Understand not? Note rising, falling, note anapanasati. Is that meditation? It's just a skillful means to anchor your mind. Who is noting also they don't know. You're supposed to be mindful. You're not supposed to be noting. You're supposed to be aware. They say, all this, if it's not understood, you can go and meditate. No use. That's why I say, you meditate without understanding, you are practically wasting your time. Actually, as serious as that. That's why meditation has to be done with understanding. That's why the phase one of Dhamma cultivation, pariyatti, learning of the teaching, or the doctrine. Spend some time, get it right, get it understood. Then when you move on to the second phase, which is Patipatti, means putting whatever Dhamma that you have learned into practice or cultivation in daily life to realize the enlightenment. And that one will become very easy when you have done your homework well under the phase one. There is also a chart that we develop. For those who attend my class, they have it. If you want a copy, you ask from them. You can see Brother Khan or Brother Day and some of them. Okay. Next one is stabilizing this mind to cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness. This is also the reason why the first category of training or the first foundation of mindfulness, Kaya Nupassana, is Anapanasati. Remember, four foundation of mindfulness? First foundation is mindfulness of the Kaya, the physical form, Kaya Nupassana. And the first category of cultivation under that Kaya Nupassana is Anapanasati. Understand? Why? Here is the reason. Anapanasati is just to train the mind to be mindful or aware of the in and out breath. And to do just that, then stabilize it and then use it to cultivate mindfulness of the four postures, leading to the daily mindfulness, to develop all of the other subsequent four foundations of mindfulness training and cultivation. So now you understand the teaching. You check Kaya Nupassana. The Buddha said you start with Anapanasati to train your mind to be mindful. After that, what you do? What is the second category of cultivation? Mindfulness of what? You just read, you cannot remember. The four postures, understand not? The Buddha said, standing, you aware. Walking, you aware. Lying down, you aware. Sitting, you aware. If four postures also you cannot be mindful and aware, then how to cultivate the next one? Sati Sampajana. Mindfulness and clear comprehension of all the connecting activity, all action and movement in the present moment. That's why the Buddha said, looking forward, you aware. Bending, stretching, you aware. Turning, you aware. Blinking your eye, you aware. Understand? Putting on the shoulder cloth, everything, you aware. Holding the bar, you aware. Understand? Answering nature's call, you aware. Everything, you aware. Understand? You aware of all your mental intention, aggregates of mind. Everything that arises within your own form of mind. And that is daily mindfulness. If you don't do that, then where is the meditation? Then how can you develop the understanding of the Buddha Dhamma? That's why it's very useful. So when you understand that, you realize meditation is not what people teach you or think. You have been doing all this, if I'm not wrong, most of you, without understanding. When you understand, you do it differently, you know. No? You are very focused. Even puja has a lot of meaning, understand? No? Then all the 10 marital section has a lot of meaning because you understand. But if you only listen as knowledge, don't know how to apply, don't know how to use, without understanding, it doesn't serve you, understand? No? Knowledge alone doesn't serve you. You can be very, very intellect. You can rattle the scripture. You can even argue and win competition. Maybe do very well in all the exam and test, the Buddhist exam. But when it comes to living life, you are still very crude. Noble Eightfold Path, you don't have right view. You don't have right thought, right speech, right action. The way you live life, very crude. No right livelihood. The four right effort to constantly purify all of your actions, speech and thought and livelihood, you never cultivate. Sati, you don't understand how to develop. Then how you cultivate? For foundation of mindfulness. How you develop seven factor of enlightenment according to what you believe. That is what happened. And you go into thought-based meditation. That's the topic I want to come into. I don't have much time left. So the second part is the pitfall of thought-based meditation. I understand these are very new to you people. Yeah? But if you are not careful, yeah, you can get stuck for very, very long. Maybe many, many lives. As long as you don't understand. Because when the Buddha gave the advice under Dhammapadawa, verse 183, Remember the famous verse? Sabba papasa akaranam kusalesa upasampadam sacitta pariyotapadam etang buddhana sasana. What is that? What is that advice? Sabbe is what? All. Papasa is what? All evil you must avoid. Can remember this advice or not? Then kusalesa, all the kusala, wholesomeness, material, you must cultivate. Understand or not? Then sacitta, mind, pariyotapadam. You have to purify the mind. Etang buddhana sasa. This is the advice of all Buddha. No? You call yourself a Buddhist, disciple of the Buddha, and you don't follow his advice, what type of Buddhist are you? Understand? No? No point. You claim that religious label, I'm a Buddhist, you know. I keep 5 precepts. You know. What is the advice of the Buddha? Then no. Even if you know, cannot cultivate la. All evil, no, not avoid evil, no. All evil must avoid, you know. When you can do that, your 5 precepts, no problem. Correct? Huh? There was one lady who asked me, Brother Teo, so rigid, no, 5 precepts, must keep until very pure, no. How to keep? Avoid all evil, then no more evil root, show pure, understand? The absence of evil is pure, understand? Huh? So easy. That's why no defilement, understand? Huh? So what happened is, when you talk about avoiding evil is to keep precept, you need what? You need mindfulness, heedfulness to see your mental intention. You need essential Dhamma to know what is evil. Understand now? The 3 evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. You got to go deep into the essential Dhamma and understand what are these 3, which is very wide. In Pali, it's called Lobha, Dosa, and Moha. And the meaning is very deep. Not until you understand, you cannot cultivate. Understand not? How to avoid evil when you don't even know that there is evil in your mind? Understand not? What constitutes greed also you don't know. You thought greedy people only got greed. Selfish people also greed. Understand not? Deceiving people also greed. Understand not? Your dislike, your unhappiness is an anger. Understand not? Evil root. Then your craving, your sensual desire, your covetousness, these are all greed, understand? Not? Possessiveness, these are all greed. And it's so wide, understand? Not? That's why you have to go deep into it. Then all of your anger, hatred, you think only this is anger, the evil root. All of your jealousy, envy is also the evil root, understand? Not? All of your dislike is also the evil root, understand? Your unpleasant sense experience. Your minor conceit and all those things, they are all within those evil roots. Then what is delusion? All of your fear, all of your doubt, all of your delusion, they are all within that, what they call moha or delusion. The worst is self-delusion, sakkaya ditti. So you must understand all this, then only you can be aware of it, then only you can avoid. Then how do you cultivate? For right effort, understand? The right effort to abandon the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action from that has already arisen, understand? Then the right effort to prevent them from arising. These 2 also you never cultivate. Then you say you already enlightened, understand? Because of the fantastic meditation. Then the second right effort, 2 right effort is the second advice of the Buddha. Cultivate wholesomeness, kusala. Kusalesa upasampadan. Whatever wholesomeness got conditioned, you must cultivate and develop. So right effort to cultivate the wholesome virtue, the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood that you have not developed. Understand? The gentle and pleasant speech. The right action of generosity. Understand? Honesty, sincerity, gratitude, respect, all these are wholesome action and wholesome thought. All these you have to arise the right effort to constantly cultivate them. Metta, love, compassion, understand or not? What they call contentment. All these are very important. Then you need to arise the last right effort to refine upon them and perfect them, understand or not? Whatever goodness and virtue that you have cultivated through your right effort, you have to refine upon them and perfect them. Are these four effort thought based? Understand or not? So when it comes to the last advice, when the Buddha said purify your mind, the Buddha teach what? Sama sati, understand or not? Sati is before the knowing, no thought, just aware. So awareness before the knowing is sati. Understand or not? So when you cultivate four foundation of mindfulness, you're not supposed to use thought. Understand or not? That's like breathing in, the mind is aware. Understand or not? It's not breathing in, not breathing in. Understand or not? Or when you walk, not walking. Understand or not? The Buddha say when you walk, you're aware. When you stand, you're aware. Understand or not? Everything you do with awareness, sati. You don't go and create the thought to watch, understand or not? To note, and to meditate. Who is the meditator? The thought is the meditator. So if you frequently use thought, where you are so heedless and so conditioned by thought, without thought, like you cannot live. Meditation also you use thought. It's only logical, isn't it? There must be somebody inside there to meditate, isn't it? Who meditate? I meditate. You meditate to realize anatta, and you I meditate, and the thought so egoic, meditating. Through what? Through knowledge, through all the Dhamma that you accumulate in your brain, your memory. Then in the meditation, what you do? You look for vipassana. You look for impermanent, suffering, non-self. Then you say, oh, I saw. This is anicca. This is dukkha. This is anatta. Then you come out with all your version of anicca, dukkha, anatta. Then you say, I saw tapana already. Understand? Then after that, you become different. I want to teach. I want to share. Then you meet some problem. You start arguing. Anger start to come out. Then they realize, wow, like that one. Or maybe correct. Sotapan still got anger. The evil root not rooted out. Yeah. And that's not. Because sensual desire and you will still there. Wow. Excusable. Then you console yourself. Then you still think you're sotapan. Sotapan not easy, I tell you. Sakaya diti, self-delusion. As long as the egoic mind, the thought is still there, you are far, far away from being a sotapanna, I tell you. Not until you realize non-self, sakaya diti. You've severed the factor, self-delusion. You are not deluded by this form of mind anymore. That it is not you. And you understand it through wisdom, clearly, not a knowledge. When you insight into phenomena, when you have the awakening, when you see the condition arising of this five aggregate of form and mind, very clearly, very distinctly, then your whole understanding of who you are, what you are, become very different. That's how you penetrate, understand? That's how you awaken. Okay? So this is a brief summary of what that thing is. So now I have to go on quickly. Yeah? Pitfalls of thought-based meditation. Number three. So all this, when you understand, you will know how to proceed. Otherwise, you just debate, because most living beings are gullible. They thought meditation is some form of fantasy or like very mystical. Then when they meditate and develop some form of special experience that other people don't experience, then they think this is very special. Then they attach and cling, and they want to know, is this a sign that I have achieved or realized? That's how one debates. Because they don't understand what their focus is. They don't inquire to find out what is meditation. When you don't have a clear understanding of what you are doing in the name of meditation, that's how you debate. Understand? Okay. I read it again. When you don't have a clear understanding of what you are doing in the name of meditation, you will end up keep debating. Then you may end up having fantasies about meditation. That's how many cultivators and meditators got trapped. And the other danger is they cannot see thought. They cannot see the danger of thought. They cannot understand what sati is. And because sati is beyond thought, and you continue to allow thought to come in and distract you, then it will become thought-based meditation instead of mindfulness-based meditation. You're supposed to develop sati, understand not? And use it to cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness, no? Not foundation of thinking, no? Understand? That's why you don't go and note, don't go and watch, and don't go and do all this actively arising the thought. All of thought-based meditation will not bring you the meditative result that you are looking for, because what they want to realize is the Dhamma, which is akaliko. Akaliko means timeless. This Dhamma is beyond thought, beyond time. So if the instrument you use to meditate is thought, you cannot reach it, because you are limited by the instrument you use to develop the meditation. So with this, I think it should be very clear by now that you shouldn't make the same mistake again. And by now, you all should start to understand why I keep on emphasizing in the past that meditation has to be done with understanding. You cannot develop something that you don't understand. Correct or not? If you have a problem, you want to solve your problem, you don't even know what your problem is, how to solve. Correct or not? You want to meditate, but you don't want to find out what is meditation. So how you meditate? You become gullible. You believe that teacher, oh, he sure know because he already so long in it. Then impressed by what he wears or more, worse still. Oh, then you say, must be correct. Oh, then gullibly, oh, he said, note, I note. He said, see, I see. He said, turn, I turn. Then you become like robot, discipline, attention. Means you don't do with understanding. You do because people tell you to do. Then you don't know why you do. You think through your own delusion, you become gullible. Meditation is like that. They say, I know. I know anapanasati, I'm meditating. No. I know rising, falling, I do vipassana. No. Got a person who do one. No. So how to realize vipassana when the person is actively doing? Who is doing? They never inquire. They never find out. The thought is doing. The egoic mind is doing. When you're silent, there is no thought, no mind, no person inside there doing. That silent nature understand, awaken, no thought. That's why the direct knowledge and vision, direct seeing, without thought, you awaken, without knowledge. Knowledge keep in the brain, store as memory. But when you meditate, empty them. That's why the Zen say, empty your cup. If your cup is full of your views, especially wrong view and all the so-called conditioning, no amount of Dhamma can go in. You pour all overflow out. But you already know. Your Dhamma knowledge prevents you from accepting. Your conditioning prevents you from accepting. Just like earlier I said, Theravada tradition. Where got like that one meditation? Chan, chan, chan. Then you refuse to listen. No? That conditioning stop you. No? With that view. Your cup of tea is full. You don't have an open mind to listen. That's why empty your cup and receive whatever. If it's the truth, it will stand up to investigation, like the Buddha said. He told the Kalamas. He said, don't believe anything just because it's written in holy book or written, spoken by great teacher, including himself. So the Dhamma, according to the Buddha, is ahipasiko. You know what is it? You can come forward and investigate into it. It stand up to investigation. That's why the Dhamma is ahipasiko. If it's the truth, it will stand up to investigation. And it can be realized. Each by the wise. Nobody else. That's why the true Dhamma is not scared of your investigation. But if it's not the true Dhamma, you investigate, straight away you know, this can never be the Dhamma. So I read on. And by now, you all should start to understand why I keep on emphasizing in the past that meditation has to be done with understanding. You don't just blindly follow instruction. Just like what the Buddha told the Kalamas, you should not believe what the spiritual teacher tells you, even the Buddha himself. You have to investigate and find out. Then when you understand, you will be very clear. Your mind will be very different. And you will know how to proceed with the cultivation. Otherwise, you become gullible. Then again, you debate. You check back. Especially those who meditate, cultivate very long already. What have you been doing all the time? Please don't say I'm right. Otherwise it becomes very embarrassing. But you find out yourself. Be sincere with yourself. When you understand, It's so different. When you don't understand, actually you're wasting your time. Anasana. You can be 20, 30 years, but it's all wasted. Because you do without understanding, thinking that it's meditation. That is just the initial stage of training your mind. Anasana. After you train, you stabilize, then only you apply that trained mind with the spiritual faculty to cultivate. That is the real meditation. That is the beginning of true meditation. That's our daily mindfulness. The present moment awareness. The understanding of what is going on within the moment in life, in the midst of life and existence. Okay? Yeah. I finish, yeah? 9:45, still got 15 minutes Q&A. Yeah? The rest you go back and read. Huh? If you want as a second session, we can fix it. Yeah? Another. Then you keep your note. Huh? Don't throw away. Then you bring back. Okay? If you want this to be continued at the next talk, which is next month, I can. Then we put that topic to another day. Huh? The other topic is what? What is reality? Is it? Huh? That one also very interesting. Because that one also has its own, what they call, important understanding, so that it can break your sakayadity, your wrong view, your conventional reality. Reality got many titles. Ultimate reality and conventional reality. You know, you can understand the two different. Conventional is what normal people take as reality. Huh? To you, it's very real. Understand? Yeah? To you, is life is very real. I'm very real. Why you say not me? So conventional reality, living being, everything that they come to know, the Buddha say is the opposite, most of it. To them, life is when you are very happy, very pleasurable. Yeah? Life is full of what they call happiness and joy. When everything goes your way, you have that thought. Then you think things can be very permanent. You want to hold on to them. You want to preserve them. But the reality is everything in this universe, the Buddha said, it has the characteristics of impermanent change and all those things. Then everything, when you attach and cling and hold, it brings about suffering. That truth, that reality is the opposite of what you believe and think. That's why you become afflicted, miserable. You suffer. Then when you say anatta, you say cannot be. Understand? I want to laugh, I laugh. I want to jump, I jump. I want to do anything I can, you say not me. What are you trying to tell me? Understand? Understand? That is conventional reality. You say very logical one. I want to do anything I can. Why you say not me? Understand? I want to commit suicide, I also can. Why you say not me? Yeah? You go back and reflect and contemplate. Yeah? Why not you? I give you a hint. This physical body, you go and find out whether it's you or not. Because a person who is paralyzed, you ask him to walk, cannot walk already. The body doesn't obey him already. Now you realize, this body never really me. You know? When the conditions are there, when I can perform that function, that is me. Because you think you can control. Ability to control doesn't mean it's you. Understand? Every day you drive car, you can also control that car, manual, one need to turn, one need to speed, one need to slow down, you want it to brake, and everything you can do. But the car is the car, the driver is the driver. So ability to control doesn't mean it belongs to you, and it's you, understand? It will listen to you. When there is no petrol, how? The car doesn't move, you scold and kick also no use. I pay money for you, no. You are my car. The car choi le to ngong. That's why it's anatta, not you. It's not under your command. When the condition is there, looks like it's under your command, look like you own. But when condition cease to be, it's no longer what it is. Your form and mind is also like that. That's why don't be gullible. This physical body is only element. The four great elements, no knowing. How can it be you? It goes the way of nature. That's why the Buddha asks you to reflect and contemplate every day. this body of ours, every day you must reflect, is of the nature to grow old and decay, for he has not gone beyond that. This body of ours, when condition ceases to be, is of the nature to get sick and be diseased, for it goes the way of nature, and he has not gone beyond that. And this form and mind of ours, physical body, is of the nature to one day decay, get sick and die, for he has not gone beyond all this nature's law. So what is that? When consciousness separate, you call death, because condition no more for it to sustain this form and mind, to perform the function of a human being. That's why this is anatta, this is not you, combination of two conditions. Understand not? Condition arising. When any of these conditions cease to be, the form and mind cease to be, the human being cease to be, why you gullibly cling, grasp and cling, and think it's you? Because you never meditate. You never silence your mind to find out. You can never see the characteristic within the condition arising, causal phenomena, the unreality, or this form and mind. And all this can be realized through only sati, heedfulness. Mindfulness leading to heedfulness. And all can be understood. That's why all of truth can be understood through the silent mind. Okay? I thank you for your patience. So I will end my talk here. Okay.
Brother, I'd like to ask this question. Many teachers everywhere, here, Burma and everywhere, and even when you read books, they will teach you the noting method. Noting, or they call it awareness.
Okay.
Which you are relating to thought base, which if I can understand what you thought is.
Okay, fair enough.
As thought base.
Okay.
So would you say that this is an incorrect method
that
they are teaching us?
Okay, very good question. Luckily you asked. Otherwise, it get me into problem. No. I understand what you asked. And it's very important. It's not a question of right and wrong. Understand not? Right and wrong is what? Personal opinion. Understand not? Right according to who? According to you. Understand not? Right according to you may not be right according to nature's law, that's all. The reality. Whatever that is the truth will explain the way things are, understand not? There is no right and no wrong. Things are just the way it is. When you have right and wrong, it is a measurement, that's all. It's a relative truth, that's all. Right according to who? Right according to the moral rules. Right according to the law, understand not? Right according to my views and opinion. What is right according to you may not right to me, understand? May not mean to be right to me, understand? So it's a question of understanding. If you understand, you can use any word, understand? But I can tell you, the awakened one, the enlightened one, will never know, understand? Maybe you can say that is your convention. To you, that word is awareness. It's not noting. If it's awareness, just say it's awareness, understand? When you note means what? When I note something means I try to know that thing, understand? Correct or not? When I note, what I am seeing means I try to perceive it, understand? Understand? And what is awareness? Before the knowing. What is there to note? Nothing to note. Just aware, silent. Understand? The moment you are silent, you already aware. So don't try to be aware. What you are doing? Trying to be mindful. Understand? Not standing. Not the intention to walk. Not walking. Who is noting? The moment your mind is active, you are not in sati. You cannot note. Understand? You try to use the thought to observe another thought. Or observe another phenomena. That's why you can say, you go and tell people, I see my anger. Understand? Who see your anger? After the anger arrives, the thought, no. Understand? But the real meditation is when anger arrives, you silent. Then you see the actual movement inside there. And you see how it arrives to the peak. And because you don't give it any more mental energy, it will slowly, slowly dissipate and become stillness again. It will return to its original nature before stirring. And so, that is the real sati. You don't want to know. The moment you know, you give energy. And I said, oh, I got anger. Who know you were anger? The thought saw. And I said, the real silent mind that the Buddha teach under the five technique or method that I teach you to overcome unwholesome thought, the third one is what? Sati, just silent, aware. Don't do anything. And I said, then you realize everything that arises, there are causes and conditions through energy field. When you just silent, it will cease to be. The original state of mind is already peaceful, silent and aware, if you don't think. Asana. You only need to be silent, then you will realize the original state. That's why meditation is so simple. But you don't believe. Cannot be lah, brother. You don't do anything also sati already. You think easy not to have thought lah. You go and try lah. Asana. You go and silent lah. When the hindrance are there, without the spiritual faculty, you cannot even silent for a split second, I tell you. That's why you think a lot, you are very heedless. Not until you develop the real sati, you don't understand what I say. You must go and do it. Like swimming. Before you know how to swim, you got a lot of what they call knowledge. No lah, Olympic swimmer, max speed, they swim like that one, no, butterfly, freestyle. You can say anything. But because you never go into the pool, and you never know what swimming is because you never do it before. You have a lot of theory. You can have all the idea about swimming. But the moment another guy who doesn't know anything, he wants to learn how to swim, he just jump into the pool and learn. Then one day he realized that if I don't do anything, my body float. Then swimming is very simple. I just move, then I swim. Then he realized what people tell him is the truth. Our body is lighter than water, understand? Its original state is buoyancy. If you don't struggle and you have faith in this understanding, that's why when you release your body and allow the body to go down, you know what it go down? Why it go down? Because whatever weight due to gravity, it will pull it down. Because buoyancy take time to develop. And when it develops, it's equal to the weight of the water displaced by your body. And because your lung got air, our body is slightly lighter than water. That's why with the air inside, you will float. So when the up thrust, the buoyancy force come into place, you realize the body float, come up. Oh, then you, there is so much joy. I didn't do anything, yet I float. That is the natural state of your body, buoyancy. Your mind is the same. The natural state of mind is already silent, stillness, meditative. The silent mind is sati. You don't believe, no? You want to meditate with the thought, no? Make it more active, no? Why can't you like swimming? Just silent and allow it to be, then see what happens. That is the natural state. Silent and allow the natural state to return. Before you get angry, there was no anger there. You were happy, go lucky, peaceful there. But how come the moment sense experience come, or you think of something, see something, or hear something, then you react, the mind stir. Before anger arrived, it was never there. So what is anger? Anger is condition arising, understand? Through the senses, through your wrong view, understand? That's why it stir. So when it arises, you colorably go and hold on to it. Say, this is my anger. Evil root. I must not have it. Then you go and control, suppress, and do funny thing about it. Understand? Anger was never you. Understand? The Buddha said, anatta. It's condition arising. It come and it go. When anger ceases to be, you never die. Understand? So how can anger be you? You meditate to realize this through the silent mind, not through knowledge, not through thinking. Understand? That's why don't try to know. The real meditation is just silent. Don't try to know anything. Just relax and allow things to be. And you think that is easier. You go and try and see. one moment. Now I ask you sit down and don't think. You go and try. You can never do it unless you have trained your sati and your spiritual faculty. I can be without thought throughout the day if I want to. Understand? But no point. I have to live life. Understand? But I can tell you, I have little or no thought. Even now speaking to you. Understand? From the nature, it just come out. So, how are you going to explain this thing to people when people have not realized it? Like swimming. Understand? So, please, I am not here to argue right or wrong. Understand? People got their own understanding. They do their own whatever meditation based on their own understanding. Not only Brother Danny, I got many people who come and ask me, Brother, you mean all the monks also don't understand? I say, no, they understand according to their own understanding. They will do whatever according to their level of understanding. Understand? When you young that time, you also kill mosquito, cockroach, rats. But why you got the understanding of the five precepts? When you kill a mosquito, you like a lot of remorse. Why? Because that conditioning. Understand? Before that also you kill. That's why at that level of understanding, you don't have the Dhamma, you will do those things. Understand? So, cultivator also same. Different time you do different things. Understand? To you, you think this is right. Understand? This is the appropriate way. That's why you teach according to what you understand. Understand? So don't try to bring in the question of right and wrong. Right and wrong will not help you. We are Dhamma friends who walk the path of Dhamma. Understand? We share understanding. No right, no wrong. Whatever I share, you cannot understand, open mind. You can understand and benefit, take it and use. That's what I want. That's what my nature will rejoice. But whatever that is against your views and opinion because your cup is full, please have an open mind. Otherwise, I don't do anything. No. Whatever you do and through your own heedless reaction of thought or action, speech and thought, nature's law take over. Not to say I'm not compassionate at all. Nothing to do with me because I don't want to know what happened. My duty is to share. After that, whether you agree, don't agree, can receive, cannot receive, depend on your karma. Understand? Depend on nature. If you are not sincere, you don't have the faith, if you want to be involved in right and wrong, you're wasting your time, I tell you. Yeah? Sharing is about supporting each other. Understand? That's why as Dhamma friend, we support, motivate, counsel, and we share. Understand? We are not here to try to be right, try to be wrong. Who wants to be right? Who wants to be wrong? The thought, which is the egoic mind with the atta, understand? Want to be more superior. Understand? So we are not here to argue about right and wrong. In fact, that was my condition for me to come out 10 years ago to share. If they don't stick to this condition, I will not share. That's why I call my one Dhamma discussion. Understand? There is no authority on you. Otherwise, the speaker always one-way traffic. Understand? That's why I encourage Q&A. Be disgusting openly. Don't worry. Understand? It's just for my mind. Understand? You have your views and opinion, your conditioning. Likewise, all other beings also have. But those who go beyond, they will understand everything. Understand? They will be at peace with everything. Understand? They will not try to be right. Why you want to be right? Understand? If you say I'm wrong, I'm very happy. Understand? You know why? I say thank you so much. You are wrong according to who? According to you. Yes, I'm wrong. Understand? So no problem. Understand? It's not a problem at all. Understand? Because if it's the truth, it will stand up to investigation. And I can tell you, people who don't know the Dhamma word better, when they develop the cultivation, they use their own words and describe, and you will know they already realize it. Yeah. And they will use very, very down-to-earth words. And you know that cultivator saw, realized, the form and mind realized. Dhamma is like that. If you go and use all the beautiful Dhamma words and put them together, the moment you speak and share, the enlightened one will know you haven't realized. Otherwise, you won't say like that. You won't argue like that. Understand? You won't approach things like that. Understand? But there is nothing. Everything is anicca, dukkha, anatta. Understand? Who wants to be right? Why want to be right? Right according to who? We never ask. Understand? That's why the world has so much crisis, conflict, is because everyone is so egoic. Want to express their opinion and views of things and want things their way, understand? Without realizing who they are, what they are. You are just but a phenomenal form and mind, understand? Conditionalizing, empty, impermanent. The moment you grasp and cling to the fire aggregate of form and mind, suffering comes to be. So all this can be realized. Okay? I hope I answer your question, Brother Danny.
Any more questions from the floor? Brother Teo has given us such a good explanation, clear explanation. So don't miss this opportunity where you can have your question clarified.
Any more questions? It's okay, don't worry. Your question is okay one. Don't be shy. Because last time a lot of Dhamma friends used to tell me, Brother, you're shy after I ask that question, this is a stupid question. There is nothing such as stupid question. A question asked sincerely from the heart is beautiful. As long as you are sincere. Very, very simple question can bring forth the Dhamma, I tell you. You can give some example of what you mean by enjoying in meditation. No, it's okay, it's a good question. I want her to give example.
While you're meditating, you just enjoy the feeling of meditation. Is it right? Is it natural to have this
sort of feeling? Is a calm and peaceful feeling, is it?
Yes.
Or some form of pity. When the mind has spiritual joy or bliss, you feel good. So the word is again, enjoy. So that is a very beautiful word. It is very important. If you don't understand, then it becomes craving. Enjoy means what? You are heedless, you enjoy. No, because that state makes you feel very good. Like drugs. You high. You lost your heedfulness. Then what are you there for? You are there to train your mind to be aware and heedful, and you enjoy. It doesn't mean that you cannot have that awareness of that bliss. If you have the silent mind that really, what they call, aware of this bliss, then that nature will understand what bliss is very clearly, but it will not attach, understand? It will understand that these are condition arising state. When I am in that condition to have that experience, because I have faith and I develop it properly, and the mind has the condition to arise that state, I will be peaceful. This form and mind will be peaceful. The awareness that is aware of all this is different. It's not a thought that enjoy, understand? The thought that enjoy is heedless. No more awareness. Understand not? That's why it's different from noting. Understand not? When you note, you suppress. Understand not? I don't want to enjoy. They say all of this good meditative state, it is craving. Understand not? Attachment. I don't want to attach. And then good food you don't want to eat. Understand not? You pass to me, I eat. The Buddha never say you cannot have good food. No. He said, don't have craving for it. Understand? Don't attach to it. You can love your loved one. You can be a very good parent, husband, very good boss. You love all your staff, all those subordinates under you. But you don't attach. Anything happen to them, you are not miserable. You are not excited. You are not like terribly involved. That is attachment. That is emotional. Understand? That brings about suffering. Like good food, got condition I eat. No condition I also eat. Understand? I go retreat, I also eat very simple food. And everything I eat with clarity. I eat with understanding. And there is every moment, every instant, you can, what they call, I used to tell you, you will live life to the fullest. You can experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. Understand? The great, pristine beauty of life. In every phenomena, in every sense experience, every moment, every instant. Why can't you have it? Every living being has the ability or potential to have it. But because you are so heedless, you never heedful, you never aware. That's why you can never be mindful of it. You can never be with the moment without thought. Without thought means what? No fear, no worry, no craving, no desire, no anxiety, no insecurity. The mind is so peaceful, experiencing, be with that thing. Understand? The beauty and wonders of it will surface. Understand? Everything is so pristine and so beautiful. Every moment is different. Understand? Even when I look at a microphone or a piece of glass, it's so beautiful. Where I see the whole thing. For you all, the concept, microphone, you say you see already. But you never really see. Understand? The true direct seeing, no word on. Clarity. Sitting as they are. So that's why you experience things very different. The one with the thought is very crude. Understand? Understand? The enjoyment that you have is very, very crude. Understand? Like you strike lottery or you heard good news. Oh, a lot of happiness, a lot of joy. That one is very crude. Understand? That one is thought-based, and the excitement, everything. But the meditative peace that you can realize through the sati or the mindfulness is very different. Understand? That meditative peace or the spiritual peace and joy is different, very difficult to come by. Understand? And can be realized within the moment. And moment to moment it will arise and pass away. Understand? And the mind understand. The awareness of it understand. And it never attached. All this, they know how it come and how it go. The condition arising. Cause of phenomena, dependent origination. They never force anything. They just flow and echo. That's why they can be with the moment in life. Every moment of sense experience, there is awareness. There is a teacher. There is wisdom. Yoni so manasikara at the moment of sense experience. Can follow that? A bit too deep for most of you. But there are some cultivators who understand. Those that have followed me for quite a while. Anyway, it's recorded. Hopefully, that's why we bring our recording. Our recording very clear. Some of you have heard of it before. You go back and listen to this recording. It will help you a lot. And when you have faith, you will receive. You must have faith. Spiritual faculty, very important. When they are there, Dhamma will dawn upon you. Without the spiritual faculty, there will be doubt. That's enough. Then the mind that is doubtful don't have confidence, understand? Because your doubt prevent you from having the confidence in the Buddha and his teaching, then you cannot receive the Dhamma. Where the spiritual faculty is weak. That's why when there is Saddha, then when you understand who the Buddha is and how special his teaching is, the virya become very strong. Then you just focus on cultivating sati, nothing else. You don't want to know anything, understand? If sati is not developed, I cannot be heedful. I'm as if dead. All the method, technique, no more meaning, understand? Why you worry about method and technique? It's only those without spiritual faculty need method and technique to train their mind, understand? If you already have the spiritual faculty, technically, you don't need the meditation object. That's why all those who attend my class, after your mind stabilized, become the silent mind in paucity, the meditation object also becomes so subtle. The breath also becomes so subtle, like no more breathing. those who do rising, falling also say become so subtle that you cannot feel. Actually, your mind is trying to develop sati, the higher sati, but you don't know. You go and do something else funny. That's why it stir again. It cannot stabilize the sati. It cannot become the silent mind. You are not supposed to do anything after that. You just completely silent still. Until it's so quiet, so still, and so tranquil. It enter past sati, silent mind. When the mind is in sati, listen, everything you do, seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, or thought, everything is in sati. Everything you see is in sati. That's why truth is everywhere. The characteristics of nature is everywhere, in the midst of life and nature. Anicchang dukkhang anatta. Why can't you see? I ask you this question. Truth is everywhere in the midst of life and existence. Why can't you see? The enlightened one, they will always see. Every moment, every instant. Those who are still heedless, they can never see. Because they see with the mundane mind. They see with the consciousness. They see with the thought. There is no direct seeing. You cannot see things as they are. Jnana. Dasana. Okay? Thank you. Thank you for the question. That's why question very simple but very good. I know a lot of people want to enjoy that state and they fear because they were told not to attach. Don't be gullible. Like good food, eat. Because there is condition for it to arrive. Eat. But don't attach. Don't attach means what? Next time when you meditate, don't look forward to that state again. When there is condition for it to arrive, it will arrive. When there is no condition, let things be. That's why meditation is not about good and bad meditation, or right and wrong meditation. Meditation is about understanding what you do in the name of meditation. You are there to train your mind to be heedful and aware. As long as you are not doing that, you are wasting your time, I tell you. You go and chase after all those fantastic states and thinking that that is meditation. And now I dare to speak a bit more because you have invited me over for many talks. First time I tell you, all run. Nobody come back the next time. Because it's so unconventional. Correct? You never heard before in most of it. But truth is the truth. That's why they say truth hurts sometimes. You have views and opinion, truth hurts. But you don't have views and opinion. Truth is beautiful. So empty your cup. Have an open mind. Otherwise you never receive. Because that doubt behind, the subtle doubt, will prevent you from understanding. Can we go so long? 10, 18 already. I supposed to stop at 10. If it's not too late for you, I'm okay. But I'm worried about some of you.
Okay with you? Still want to have question?
You want to until 10:30, can. My usual class talk at 10:30. You got any more questions you can ask? Maybe we take one more.
Well, you have heard the explanation, the talk given by Brother Teo, and also his explanation answers to the questions put forward to him. So it's very clear, and we do hope that he can be here more often. We try to arrange probably once a month.
Please. October, November, full.
Okay.
December also, I think, full. I try my best if I can. Because I got a lot of things lined up. I taking 2 group of people on spiritual trip in October. October 1, November 1. Then October is also a month where you have Katina and a lot of these things. And we also have our annual Kayamita gathering. If you want to join us, you can. Register through Brother Te or Brother Gan and give to Brother Suyan. We meet annually, gathering of Kayamita. At the same time, they celebrate my birthday. But I say my birthday is secondary. It can bring about wholesomeness through this gathering of Kayamita so that you can have your fellowship to know each other. But I teach in many places. Like the client group, you are new to the Kayamita. But when you get to know them, you will have a lot of joy. They are very sincere, very different. And you can learn from each other. You can receive motivation. You are there to counsel, guide, motivate, and support each other. That's why we are called Dhamma friends. Dhamma friend means the friend that walk the path of Dhamma. So that we are very, very focused on what we do. We have the Dhamma and we walk the path of Dhamma. We are very sincere. Okay? And one thing I can tell you, I got this special skill, answering questions. Really? If you don't ask me questions, the Dhamma cannot come out. When you ask me questions, even monks also shocked when I answer. They never understand the answer can come like that from a lay person. This was told to me by one Canadian monk. This one is a Mahayana mixed with Theravada. He came over, so we all actually invited him to join us because he is also very open mind. Then he came to, last time I teach in Cempaka meditation. So he sat next to me. Then I said, today, very lucky, we had the honor of Venerable or something here with us. I said, I will rest today and let him take over to teach. Oh, then he start. Then after that, Q&A. Certain questions were asked very tough. So he tried to answer. Then I say, Bhante, don't mind. I would like to add on to what you say. The moment I spoke and answered, he knew it's different. Then you know what happened. Later on, got a lot of people invite him for Dana. Then got two lady, very serious cultivator, from another center, asked Bhante to stay back and teach in Malaysia. And you know that what the Bhante told her? You don't need, you got Brother Teo. He's very, very good. Then there was another one. He stayed at another Parameter's house. Then two ladies came also. Asked for advice, everything. Then he said, can you introduce some book and all those things? Then after they left, this Bhante told that Parameter, he said, if the two ladies come back, ask them to see Brother Teo. I mean, that is what really happened. So, that is my skill, speciality, answer questions. Really, really. You can find out yourself. You see how I answer? And I never prepare one. I cannot prepare things. If it's not here, I cannot speak. It's all from the understanding, it's not from memory. And sometimes the thing that come out, I also don't know how I understand and I speak. But the logical mind cannot understand. But this nature can understand. It just come out. Okay? One more last question. Anybody?
Any more? One more last question.
It's okay, whatever. You want to share your experience?
Regarding just now, you said a noting.
Yes.
If you noting, actually, it means you're labeling everything. If you
correct.
Don't label it,
correct.
Otherwise, everything
correct.
Is
correct. Correct, you are right.
You put label on it.
Labeling means what? Words. Understand?
Yes.
Words become concept. Understand? And are words concept reality? That's why the next topic is. What is reality? You know what is word, isn't it? Yeah? Words are whatever the mind creates as word. And these are mundane, non-ultimate reality. Because the same thing, like English called car, Malay called kereta, Chinese, che, Hokkien lang, chia. So what is word? The same thing, called by different name. Then you argue, hey, you wrong, no. My teacher say car, no. No, my teacher say kereta. Then you argue, then right and wrong. It's exactly the same like the Buddha gave the analogy of the elephant. The blind man hold the tail, they say elephant like a tail. The blind man hold the elephant's trunk. Oh, The elephant is like a trunk, flexible one, a big fellow. Then the leg, again, yeah, the body, again, different. So all the five blind men describe the elephant differently. Then if you haven't seen an elephant, you sure catch no ball, correct? Why five fellows say all different one? You say four of them must be wrong, one fellow right. Actually, five of them also right. Right according to what they feel and what they touch. But they are blind, they cannot see. So living being, when they cultivate with noting, is the same. You note according to what you note. And to you, this is vipassana. Just like the blind man holding the elephant. Then all five also talk about vipassana. But which one is vipassana? It's actually one elephant. And the elephant is sati. Sati is missing. It becomes noting. If the Buddha say, in the Satipatthana, when you walk, you note walking, then there is at least something to support you. The Buddha never say, when you want to walk, you note walking. He never say that. When you walk, aware. Stand, aware. You can read the Satipatthana. He never ask you to note. He never ask you to slow down. When you walk, walk slowly. All this, you have to find out yourself. Because this is not about right and wrong. Understand? I'm not trying to comment anything, please. People are free to do what they understand. But finally, what do they tell you? Drop the word. Remember? Drop the label. Drop the noting. Then why so gullible? Do, then drop. Why can't you develop the understanding direct? Understand? So finally, no more noting. No more sound. Hearing. What are you doing? Is that meditation? Please, I'm not commenting. I'm stating a fact. You have to investigate yourself. Because this is what I was taught during the early day, but I cannot do. I realize this is all nonsense. When they ask me to walk slowly, like a zombie, I cannot walk. I just walk naturally. And then I realize my mind settled down very fast. If you don't believe me, you go and find out. Especially in the retreat. You do until, like maybe 1 week retreat or 7 day, 9 day, 10 day, 2 weeks. After the first 4 or 5 days, you're so painful, so full of suffering and misery. Then you know what happened or not? You dare not tell people. You want to give up, you dare not tell people. You want to go back and sleep also, you dare not. Because when you sit, pain also dare not move. Everybody did move. Then you dare not fart. You control. So what is going on? Then if you don't believe me, just forget about everything. Go out and take a fresh air. You become more peaceful, more mindful, more relaxed. Isn't it? Are you going to do that? And that is the real sati, natural. Understand or not? Then you're just silent. That is meditation. And you think I joke? This is what I teach. Understand or not? Relax. And just maintain silent. Away. Do things naturally. Understand or not? Don't force yourself. Don't make yourself miserable. Understand or not? I used to tell the cultivator that attend my class, you are here to train your mind to develop wisdom, meditative understanding. Understand? You are not here to torture yourself. Understand? Torture yourself means what? Without understanding, gullibly, got pain also, they not move. Itchy also, they not scratch. Fart also, they not release. What are you trying to do? Oh, they say, but you must maintain noble silence, no? Otherwise, I chase out of the retreat, no? Oh, I must. Everything that is rigid, it's not the meditation, I can tell you. Meditation is not rigid. Meditation is within the moment. Understand? Moment to moment. And every moment is different. There is no rules to meditation. Understand? Rules are made by human beings. That's why I say you can come with any method, any technique. What I want you to understand is, what is meditation? What is your focus? What did the Buddha teach? And then from there you understand, you will know how to meditate. Any method, any technique also no problem. You only need method and technique when your spiritual faculty is not there, when you have not trained your sati. When you really do your puja and daily religious routine, when your spiritual faculty is very stable, especially through your bowing, paying of respect and the faith. Because sadha virya will develop sati. Then after that, you extend it into your sitting. Then from there, you come out, you develop daily mindfulness. I can tell you, the moment you are heedful, you don't need method and technique. Your mind is in sati. Then you sit, immediately you enter stillness. The moment you silent your mind, anywhere, any place, is peaceful. That is the real meditation. Understand? Huh? No need to remember huh? Or record. If you got free time, go and do a transcript. It will help you tremendously. But it takes time. Many people who do this, we must thank them and rejoice. Understand? Huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Where they spend many nights sleepless listening, but they also benefit. That's why they seize the value. They want to help others. They do it. They sacrifice. And many people help in the editing, spelling check, grammatical check, photostatting, printing. That's why they give it to you free. Through Kanyanamita fund and your own whatever temple fund. So we should rejoice and we should have gratitude so that when it's your time to give back, you share, you give back, understand? Initially, it's your time to receive and take. Don't be shy. These are your good karma. Give you the good condition to receive all this. Otherwise, you won't be here sitting, listening to what I say, understand? That's why I thank you for your patience, okay? 10:30, we stop, huh? Sadhu, sadhu.
Sadhu, sadhu.
Okay, I need a drink, huh?
So, brothers and sisters, as we all know, the purpose of learning Dhamma is eventually to attain enlightenment. And we try to cultivate by being what you call brutally honest with our own self. Ask questions. If we are being counter-questioned, don't feel shy about it. Oh, no, I have just had my errors or weaknesses being corrected. How shameful. That feeling arises because we have an ego, right? Including I myself when
yeah.
That arises.
When so he said that, I remember, Cameron Highland Retreat. He was having a lot of problems with the forehead here. I asked him to train the mind to be mindful, heedful. So I said, silent everything, relax. Then feel your forehead. He cannot feel. Luckily, he come and talk to me. Then I told him what happened and explained to him and teach him how to come out of it. If he hold on to his ego, but I can see his face, disbelief cannot be. But I meditate so long already. All this still wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying what I teach is like that. If you don't have a empty cup, you cannot receive. But luckily he got faith. He got faith after the talk and the retreat because the sharing is very different at the Cameron Highland Retreat. You can talk to him later. So we continue. Okay, thanks, Rate. Okay, thanks for the sharing. Very okay. Good. Honest person. Very sincere. That's why he has a lot of joy. He himself tell you, the ego refuses to die. But it's very good. I always tell my Kanyanamita friend, when you can see your own fault, and your own defilement, and your own ego, that is the beginning of real meditation. Where you can admit your fault, bring down your pride, develop humility, develop understanding to face the truth. That is the beginning of understanding and meditation. Asana. Okay.
So as appreciation, we'd like to extend a token to Brother Theo. Sadhu, sadhu,
sadhu. Okay, as usual, I rejoice. Thank you. Then I will pass it to my driver. Come, Brother Cho, come, sadhu. This is offered to you. After that, you can do what you want. Sadhu. So a lot of wholesomeness. It come to one, go to one, then go back. Sadhu, sadhu,
sadhu.
We should rejoice because these are wholesomeness, sincerity, generosity, kindness. They do on your behalf because you are a member of Tiratana Society. And there's a lot of wholesomeness in all this offering and giving. Yeah? So I rejoice. Huh? Thank you.
Okay. So before we end the session, as usual, we'll transfer merits to departed ones, sharing with devas, and meet our aspirations. Brother Teo will lead us in that.
Okay. We will chant the Pali version as usual. Huh? We start with sharing our merits with the devas. Huh? Those who know how to chant, follow. Those who maybe not so sure, you silence your mind and just rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Huh? That will be very wholesome. Sharing our merits with the devas. Huh? Akka sata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkhantu loka sasana. Akka sata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkhantu loka sasana. We do a third time, because tonight is different. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkhantu loka sasana itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sapa sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Now you make an expression. Imina punyang kamina Māme bālā samāgamo sattāṁ samāgamo hotu yāva nivāna pattiyā sādhu, sādhu, sādhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones.
Brothers and sisters, before you go back, please help yourself to some refreshments outside. Thank you.